Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things. I've got a blog that's there. It's a multimedia blog, not like anything else you've ever seen. Hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. And if you want us to send it to you, you can come and get it every day. But Monday through Friday, if you want us to, we'll send it to you. Also, my newsletter comes by email on Sunday, gets you ready for the week ahead in the afternoon on Sunday. And so I hope you'll take advantage of all those things that are there. They're all free thanks to our outstanding corporate partners, which includes our good friend Tim Berry, who's with us right now. Tim is the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, and they're the folks who make Business Plan Pro. And he's here to talk to us about different kinds of business plans. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Delightful to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure as you and I continue into our ninth year together. And I thank you for all the things you've done for us over the years. Tim, you and I've talked an awful lot over the years about business planning. I don't think we've ever, in one show at least, in one interview, one visit, talked about the different kinds of business plans. Now, ordinarily, in a perfect world, I know you would say in a perfect world, Tim, just you need to create the business plan you need, and you need to manage with that, and you need to use it, to borrow money. You need to use it to get investors or whatever. But you and I know this isn't a perfect world, and therefore you may need different kinds of business plans at different times in your business's life.
Yeah, what happens, Jim, is we refer to the business plan word means different things to different people. It's all business plans, but our listeners may be assuming one thing when what they really need is another.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's a good time to list some of the common business plans and explain how one differs from the other to make sure that when you're doing this, you get what you really need to improve your business and not what some generalized academic type list tells you is a business
mm-hmm.
plan.
Well, and of course, the first, I would have to say the first business plan on the list would have to be the one that you use to help you grow your business in a successful and a strategic way.
Yes. Yeah, that's
you're the customer.
The growth plan, the management plan, the business plan that's not going to the eyes of the investor or to the eyes of the banker or to the eyes of the academic reviewer. It's going to you, your team, and going to run your business.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call the growth plan.
And that's the plan that identifies what your goals are, what your hopes and dreams are. It includes any kind of financial data that you've accumulated and whatever you can project. It includes industry information. It talks about your organization, the organizational chart, the people you're gonna hire and use, the people you are using, the people you buy from, the people you sell to, all those things. And these are all things that you need to have cataloged for your own use and the use of your management.
Yes, definitely. There's an easy phrase to remember about this most important of all business plans because it's the most useful. And the phrase is, weave a mat. Mat as in M-A-T. And that M-A-T stands for milestones, assumptions, and tasks. So if you weave a mat in your main business plan, you're getting to the core information that, irregardless of whether banker or investor, someone else is reading it, it helps you run your business. Milestones, assumptions, and tasks. What's supposed to happen? When? Who's responsible for it? How much will it cost?
Mm-hmm.
That's the core of what makes this process better for your business.
So milestones establish in the future You identify significant events or significant things that you believe that you can sort of put a stake into the future to reach for.
Yeah, let's take a step back. And what we're talking about in this case is you want to plan because you want to grow. I call these growth plans because I've been on this for 35 years and I've never met the person who had the shrink plan. So we're all out to
Well, I've met a few of those, but they're not in business anymore, Tim.
Well, yeah. So they were successful with their shrink plan.
That they were very successful. That's exactly right. Hold on to that thought, Tim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we got more to come. We're going to continue our discussion on different kinds of business plan. We're establishing, though, the fundamental one, and then you can morph off of this into these others that Tim's going to tell you about. Right after these messages, it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching for something.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Tim Berry, president and founder of Palo Alto Software. And, Tim, I know your favorite website is bplans.com, right?
That's right.
And folks, that's not the main website. That's the one that Tim gives out when he likes to help people understand how to create and manage with their business plans. That's your educational website, isn't it?
That's the company's big business plans resource with 60 sample plans for free and business tools and so on. I will say that these days I often give out my timberry.com
right.
website, because there too there's a book, articles, some talking Tim stuff where I go through PowerPoint slides with my voice.
All right.
So that one's...
That's timberry.com,
like
right?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, no, I think it's an outstanding site, and I'm glad you mentioned that one. So bplans.com, folks, and timberry.com. Check out both of those, and then, of course, paloalto.com. Tim, we're talking about the fundamental business plan, and you were telling us about how to weave a mat, milestones, assumptions, and tasks.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about the milestones, assumptions. Assumptions are very important for businesses, and I think assumptions are the most underused and underappreciated tools in business planning. What do you think?
Absolutely, and underanalyzed in a way, because one of the best reasons to redo an annual plan every year, which is why we call it an annual plan, is because you do have to at least once a year re-examine the assumptions that you just assume build your business. You have to look at that market. And that's one that people don't get as easily. Well, I'm not a startup. Why should I plan? Why should I go through this? The value of looking every year well at your market is just indescribable.
Well, and you know what, Tim? It's fun, isn't it? I mean, that's to me, if you're not doing assumptions and projections, you're missing the fun of a business plan. I mean,
well,
that's this is
absolutely.
Where you get to actually think,
because
you get to imagine what's going
to
happen in
customers.
The future.
And well, and you for me, the market analysis is so important. You do it once a year, and it's not, oh, yeah, I know our market, et cetera. It's take the time to talk to customers once a year. Find 10 customers. Find 10 potential customers for a new type of business. Find 10 existing customers. Talk to your customers. My kind of market research isn't hire one of the market research firms and spend $10,000 or $20,000 on finding out what's going on in the major market. Not that that's not a luxury that you'd like if you could afford it, but every company ought to take a step back and reexamine the assumptions about why people are buying, what they're looking for, what's the competition, what's the future.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be once a year.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the tasks are the things that have to be done, and you got to decide who's going to do them, right?
Yeah, there's a process to this that I think takes us from global blue sky type level to details and then back. In the normal growth plan, what we start with is setting the longer term objectives. You want to determine your own destiny. You don't want to just react to what happens in business.
Mm-hmm.
So first, you look at the market and you look at your own company. What's our core competence? What are our real long term objectives? What's the vision for where we want to be in 3 years? And that gives you the idea of where you should be going as if it were a map.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Then in your plan, what you're going to do is put that down into steps. How do I make sure I get to this long-term thing? Because reality is always going to change. We know business plans are always wrong, and we've talked about that. But the process of going from the larger vision, how do I get to steps, leads you down into the details of the milestones, tasks, and assumptions.
Well, what I like to say, Tim, is that assumptions are often wrong and projections are always wrong. And the fun is to try to get better and to try to beat those odds. Try to get to the point where your assumptions are more right than wrong and where your projections are less wrong than they have been in the past. So now we've got this basic fundamental business plan, the one we're using where we're the customer. But tomorrow, Tim, or maybe let's say in a week, we need to be sitting in front of our banker to borrow money. How does this business plan that you just described to us, where we're the customer, how does it change when we give it to the banker?
The bank needs to know different things. The bank is concerned, first of all, about financial history.
Right.
We haven't even mentioned that in our growth plan. The bank is concerned just a little bit about growth, but they're concerned a whole lot about cash flow. Now, we didn't mention cash flow in our growth plan, but we should have.
Mm-hmm.
So cash flow is vital for all plans. But in the bank, financial history becomes huge, and particularly, how are you going to repay the interest on the loan that you're applying for?
Tim, I had a banker one time tell me that he said, Jim, he said, if you can only bring me one document, bring me your cash flow statement that shows me how I'm going to get my money back.
Well, interesting about cash flow, because if you look at every kind of business plan, cash flow shows up in every one of them. That's one that no plan can do without.
Absolutely. Stand by, Tim. Quick break. Right back with Tim Berry. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. It's 10 Till. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Tim Berry is our guest. He's the president of Palo Alto Software. And Tim, we're talking about now different kinds of business plans. We were talking about the bank. You gave us an idea about what the bank wants. They want they definitely want to see cash flow. They want to see a growing company, but they don't want to see one that's too unconservative, someone that's too fast to growth. Projections make bankers really nervous, doesn't it?
Well, the faster the growth, you get to the point where you need more financing coming in, and that can make a bank nervous. The bank wants to see that there are hard assets to cover the amounts of the loan, and that there's a good history of paying interest, and that the projections show continued good history of paying interest. That's the bank's business.
I'll tell you another thing bankers like. If you want to show them the plan that you think you can make, that's fine. But also drop back and create a more conservative one and say, okay, this is what we think we're going to do. But if we're wrong and we don't do this well, here's what it might look like. Here's a more conservative approach. And here's what our company looks like if that happens. And as you can see here, we can still make our payments.
Yeah. And you might consider just taking that second one to the bank.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think they always like seeing that you've got a little bit of ambition in your eyes. They like seeing that. They just like knowing that in the worst case scenario, or the almost worst case scenario, that they're still going to get their money. What about the venture capitalists?
We haven't mentioned the team yet in our talk about the growth plan and the bank plan. The venture capitalist plan is going to talk a lot about the entrepreneurial team, the founders. What have they done before? Who are they? Why do we believe them?
Mm-hmm.
That's so much more important in the VC plan than in the others.
Because they're going to become really your partners, aren't they?
Yes. There's a lot of talk about venture capitalists betting on the jockey rather than the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for the qualities in the jockeys that they want. And then there's exit strategy in a venture capital plan. When you think about it, banks don't care about the exit strategy, but
that's
the
right.
VCs or angel investors or even friends and family investors, if they're at all sophisticated, when they put money into a company as a result of reading this plan and buying into the ideas and believing the founders, they want to know when they get money back out. So the exit strategy also becomes absolutely essential in a venture capital plan, along with the team. And on that one, growth, in contrast to what we're saying with banks, growth, a protectable market and some proprietary technology and a market that's growing are very much more important. Barriers to entry are much more important in a VC plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, that issue of exit strategy, isn't that where most entrepreneurs and their venture capitalists get sideways? Because if I'm starting a business, you know, there's a pretty good chance I'm in love with this business, and the idea of getting out in 3 to 5 years, you know, maybe some people start businesses and that's their goal, but a lot of people who are small business owners, they like what they do, and the idea of an exit strategy is a little antithetical to them.
Yes, it's really difficult for the normal small business to come up with an exit strategy because we don't want out. I don't want out. I don't have an exit strategy.
Right.
But if I'm going to an investor, I have to be able to explain how they get money back, because that's death to them, that you could be a healthy company forever and they get no money out of it because they put money in to have that money appreciate and then leave in 3 to 5 years. So that definitely changes the whole nature of the VC plan.
And that's also why, depending on how much money they put in, they're going to probably want to start out with controlling interest, aren't they?
Yes, that's very important to investors. That's one of the oddities of this whole thing, that it's more likely to get high-end investors needing $3 to $5 million than it is needing $300,000 to $500,000.
Right.
Because they want control, so they want to see there's more money in there, and they want to have at least two other investment groups and on the board, because they get locked in, and this is just sort of a long-term prison for money if you invest in a business that becomes healthy and doesn't need to sell itself and doesn't want to go public, then
right.
your money is trapped there.
They're held hostage, and they don't like that, absolutely.
And hey, that goes on forever.
Give us your website one more time, please.
Bplans, bplans.com.
And if you want to hear Tim and see him in doing his work with business planning, go to timberry.com, and you can see all the great business planning resources he has there, too. Tim, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay,
it's always fun.
Yeah. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.